Thank you, Brother Anthony. And thank you all for being here this good morning. I grew up in Derby, Kansas, a nice little neighborhood, community. Lord willing, next summer we make plans to go back home and see it. It'd probably been about 30 years ago since I last saw it. It'd be interesting to see. It'd bring back a lot of memories, a lot of good memories. It'd be interesting to see how things have changed. I have a lot of good memories of playing in the backyard with friends and brother and sister and various neighborhood kids, all the things that took place there. But every year, this was the worst time of year. And that's because it was back to school time of year. And I still remember what it was like to feel the closing of summer take place and the next school year begin. As the old saying, all good things must come to an end, and that's true for a child in their summer. All the sleeping in and horsing around and watching TV come to close as the next season begins for school. And the Lord willing, if time shall stand, a week from Wednesday, that will happen here. And kids will be back in school. You know, we're blessed to have so many children here in this congregation, so many different ages and stages. All the children's classes are being utilized and have children in it. God has been very good to us here. The question is, have we been good to God? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, O young man, O young woman, O young child, have you been good to God? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11:9, Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Children, will you be good to God this year at school? Will you seek to serve Him even there as the new year comes? Well, there are four principles that I believe that will help you do that very thing that I want to share with you this morning. The first principle to apply to going back to school, children, is number one, to work hard. To work hard. Do you know the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone shall not work, neither shall they eat. And that's something that you have to look forward to as you age and eventually get out on your own. Working to earn your keep, to earn a living, so that you might be able to eat. It's something that pleases God when we put our hands to work and be able to provide for our own. But you know, you don't magically learn that when you're older. You begin training towards that while you're younger, developing good work habits while you're young. And in Colossians chapter 3, understand this, that while you're young, your school is your work. In Colossians chapter 3, here Paul wrote to the bondservant, the workman. In Colossians 3:23-24, he says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Notice he said, whatever you do. So at your age and your stage, that's what you do, is school. And the Bible tells you to do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That is not just for your teacher's sake. Not just to be able to check the boxes for her or for him, but to do so for the Lord. You work for him. In Proverbs chapter 15, there we see some more principles of avoiding laziness and to develop a strong work ethic. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, But the way of the upright is a highway. You ever walk down a trail and get stuck in some thorns? Ah! And it just, it pricks you all over. Chafes your legs. It hurts. Well, the Bible says the way of the lazy man is like that. They cultivate a habit of life of not working, therefore being productive. So they find failures in their life. They find hardships in their life. Wherever they go or turn, they are pricked by those thorns of the hedge that they had created. The Bible says, but the way of the upright is a highway. You know, it's a lot more fun to drive on the highway than to walk through the hedges of thorns. Those straight paths, those good roads where productivity is accomplished and your journey completed. Well, the way of the upright, the one that's not lazy, the one that has worked hard, they're going to have that kind of ability later on in life. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads to poverty. And so oftentimes it takes place in school that the experience of the school becomes more of the important thing as opposed to the learning and the labor and the work. In the labor there's the profit. The idle chatter you won't remember past next week. Now there may be times where you don't want to work hard. But hard work almost begins at the point where you don't want to do it. When you don't want to read that book. When you don't want to write that paper. When you don't want to do the last 20 math problems. It's then that you begin to learn what working hard actually means. And you develop that strong ethic so that when you're at your job or your career, you know what it's like to push through that because you've done it many times earlier in your childhood. There may be times where you're tempted to do the bare minimum. Don't. Don't just try to complete the task, but understand what it's trying to teach you. Actually seek to learn. That's a novel idea, right? Not just get the work done. Stephen, yeah, right. No way. Hey, I remember what it was like to skate on by. I'd coast a few classes every now and then as well. I remember what that was like. But understand, that's not pleasing to God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, I had to mature, I had to learn, because if that's how you treat your work now, that's how you'll treat your work later. It'll become part of your character. Those individuals usually end up getting fired or let go. When it comes time to make layoffs, the employer is able to say, here's the one that's worked hard, who's actually put in the extra hours and the effort. And those that just tried to skate by, they usually get cut. They get the pink slip. There may be times that you're tempted to cheat. Don't. Don't do it. Even if you're never caught, you'll regret it later on in life. You'll actually remember those instances. But it's also possible that you do get caught. And what then? What would it say about you? You didn't work hard. You tried to steal off the effort of someone else. And again, it can lead to problems later on in life. Some of you may have heard recently in the news of some parents that cheated in trying to get their kids to go to various prestigious colleges in this country. And now those parents are on trial. Those parents are going to go to jail. You see, you cheat now, you'll cheat later. And you'll cheat greater. And jail's not where you want to be. Work hard and let the rest take care of itself. Listen, children, I think I can speak safely for all the parents here. We would much rather you get a C in a particular course through hard effort than to get an A by cheating, by stealing that. It doesn't belong to you. Just try your best and work hard. So that's something to take with you as the school season begins. Work hard. But also, show kindness. Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Kindness. In Luke chapter 10, you see Jesus illustrate kindness with a story. In Luke 10, verse 29, this scribe wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, of course, what those thieves did to that man was not kind. It was the opposite of kind. It was brutal. But also what takes place is not kind. Verse 31, "By chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." That's unkind. Verse 32, "Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." That was unkind as well. Verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" You see, he was kind. So Jesus said, "Which of these do you think was his neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And the Bible says, he who showed him mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So I say to you, young people, go and do likewise as well. Show kindness. Now notice, it will cost you something. It will take time out of your precious day. It may even require some funds or assistance to do so. But it's what the Lord would have us to do, to show the appropriate kindness to those that are in need of it. You know, I recall not too long ago I shared a story with you about my childhood friend who, when I learned had a certain disability, I unfriended him. I distanced myself from him. And that has stuck with me all my life. That was not kind. Don't be like that. What I didn't tell you is I also had another childhood friend, and his name was Darren. Darren had this large hole in his neck. It was a scar, because when he was a baby, they fed him through a tube. Later on, they moved that tube to his stomach. I remember Darren, he didn't have many friends, and individuals would tease him about that. Remember, his mom would lift his shirt and hook a syringe to that tube and feed him nutrients through that tube. It was different. It was strange. But we were good friends for a long time. You need to find individuals like that and show kindness. Because we live in an increasingly unkind world where bullying takes place more often than not. Kids are teased and tossed and assaulted, violated, often provoked for absolutely nothing at all. And it's so sad. Before, it would just happen between 8 and 3 p.m., right? Once you leave school, done for the day. But in our age of technology, where we're almost connected 24 hours a day, the bullying might actually just start at 3 p.m. and continue on into the wee night hours. Now, you may not be able to affect what happens to you there, but you control you. And I want to tell you, young person, if you have some kind of tablet or smart device and you're connected in these ways, understand, you don't have to reply to every text. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? You don't have to reply to each post. What? Yeah, you don't. You don't have to respond to each picture or Snapchat. Can you believe what you're actually hearing? See, I'm speaking the words of truth and reason. I'm speaking about reality. I'm here to tell you, you're a real living human being. You are not ones and zeros. Don't live from cell tower to cell tower. Take a deep breath and thank God that you're human. And put that device away. However, if you feel the need to respond, show kindness when someone is unkind to you. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 18, the Bible says this. It says it to you, it says it to me. It says, as much as is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. You hear that? Do not avenge yourselves. That's what often takes place. Someone says something nasty about you online. Well, I'm going to post right underneath it something nasty about them. The Bible says, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you win. That's how you beat it. You overcome evil with good. They're unkind to you, so in response, be kind to them. I'm teaching this and saying this because I know the inclination is not to do that. It's hard to do what I just said to do. But Jesus showed us the way. Remember in Matthew 5 and verse 39, He talked to individuals that had been told eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Jesus showed them a better way. Matthew 5, 39, I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Could that not apply to what we see take place at school? Sure. Sure it can. Like I said, you don't have to respond to every text. But if you feel inclined to do so, show kindness. They won't know what to do with themselves. It'll throw them for a loop. Verse 43, you heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said, you love your enemies. Notice, bless those who curse you. There you go. You heard it from the Lord Himself. Someone cursed you? What? Someone actually said that about you? Jesus said, bless them. I didn't say it. Jesus said it, right? Bless them. That's what the Lord said. You don't have to go their way. You show them a better way. You respond in kindness, even when they're cruel and ugly. Be kind and good and beautiful, and I'm going to tell you, you'll sleep a lot better. You imagine each time that they seek to bully you, you just say nice words. Eventually, it's going to ruin their day. They're going to leave you be. They're going to look for someone else to hurt. And you know why? Because they're looking for a rise out of you. They're looking for someone that's going to push back because they're about the drama. That's why. That's why they say those things. Don't give them the satisfaction. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10, verse 23, the first part of that verse, it says, to do evil is like sport to a fool. They just see it as a game. I love it. You see how angry they got at that? You see how they ran away in tears? You see? To do evil is like sport to a fool, so don't play the game. You'd be like Jesus. Remember the golden rule. That applies here. Matthew 7, 12. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and prophets. So I don't care what they actually said to you. What do you want them to say to you? And say that. Say that. Be that. Do that. Show kindness. Remember, Jesus did that for all His enemies that nailed Him to a cross. We could all do better with being kind to those who are so unkind. So as you go back to school, you remember to show kindness, and it will speak well of you. But also beware of pride or of popularity today. I remember this like it was yesterday. Childhood pride. That's how it's expressed among children. Be popular. This inflated sense of self, the ego. The popular circle was usually made up of the beautiful, the attractive, the athletic, and the funny. And then those who were friends of those people were also associated with their popularity. And so for those that didn't fit that particular mold, that was their way in. Be friends with them. And then sometimes the friends of the friends could also be brought into the circle as well. And I'm here to tell you, it's all vanity. It's all smoke and mirrors. That means it's without true value. But it's so hard to convince kids that. I don't know if I would have been convinced either if the roles were reversed back in my day. Because that's the world you live in, and you think that's all that's important. Because at that age, in that stage, your world is so small. You just don't realize it. But what I want you to see is that is pride that you're experiencing. And pride comes from the devil. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, the Holy Scripture says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." See, pride will ruin you. It will destroy you, and it will lead you to more and more sins. You just can't commit one. You'll continue to commit more to keep your pride. In chapter 1 of this great book, there you even see verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,'" right? You're going to want to feel like, "I got to go." Because they're the cool, they're the popular, they're the ones that have all the attention. Verse 14, "Cast your lot among us." Well, the proverb writer said, verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot far from their path." See, if this is your desire, you'll seek to gain it at increasingly higher and higher costs. Because what you value will begin to tempt you. If you value popularity, it will tempt you to commit more and more sins. And I'll be honest, I had to learn the hard way on this. Where one sin led to another sin in my youth. You know, it begins to teach you and tell you things. If you do certain things, well, then you'll be more accepted in that crowd. If you wear this certain clothing, or a more revealing dress, well, then you'll be more accepted. Pride goes before a fall. Or if you go on that date with that cute or popular boy or girl, and they may entice you to sleep with them, or at least cross a few bases. Pride goes before a fall. Or a party's happening and all the cool people are going to be there, and it just feels like an honor that you've been invited. And before you know it, the beer's passed around. Or the bong. Pride goes before a fall. You can't care about that circle. Sin only reigns there. And I'm here to tell you as well, Jesus and the apostles weren't in that circle when He was around. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were the go-to guys of the day. They're the ones that had the positions of prominence and popularity among the crowds. And even some among them knew Jesus was right. But because of pride and popularity, they couldn't admit it. In John 12, notice verse 42, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him." Why? "Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So you're going to have to make a choice. What do I value more? To be good for God, who's been so good for me? Or to be good for all these other people out here that I guarantee you 5-10 years later after school is over won't even remember you. Or you then. In John chapter 3, even Nicodemus, you could see he was touched by this. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And in John chapter 3, it says in verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night." Why did he come by night? I suggest to you because he didn't want to be seen with Jesus during day. So Jesus later on tells him, verse 21, "He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Nicodemus, you're eventually going to have to change. If you're going to be with me, you're going to have to let your light shine. You just can't be an incognito Christian. Right? A Christian by Sundays. And a regular person on weekdays. You have to decide what you want. And you have to choose. And may it be God. May it be God. I graduated in 1995. And in 2005, I went to my 10-year reunion. It was nice to see people again. I actually enjoyed that. But you know, nobody was the cool or the popular. Oh, that was gone. It didn't mean anything anymore. We were all adults. I didn't go to our 2015 reunion, but I laughed when I saw the picture. You know, we're all older adults now. You know, cool is... In fact, those that were among the coolest and the most beautiful, some of them had gained like 50 pounds, and you know, they were hardly recognizable. I mean, all of that changes. None of that really matters. Don't let that be a thing to lose your soul over. Something like that just doesn't matter. Beware of pride and of popularity. It'll ensnare your soul. And last for this morning, when you go back to school, think about sharing your faith. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus is the light of the world, and we've got to point people to Jesus. We've got to tell them about His Word and what He says. Now, I know not everyone's going to get it. In fact, most won't. And that's why the next verse says, verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The darkness does not comprehend it. You're going to look odd and strange if you do this. But I'm here to tell you, do it anyway. Share it anyway. You have the light of the world. Don't be stingy with that light. Grow in your faith. Share your faith. Let it be a guiding light to those around you by telling them of Jesus Christ and His ways. Verse 9 says that that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Why would we want to hide that light under a basket, right? No, we don't want to do that. He's the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. You know, these principles, after so long, develop your character. And if you are comfortable with sharing your faith at a younger age, you'll be more comfortable as you get older as well. But the more you suppress that, then the harder it will be when you're older. Don't say, "Once I get older, once I get out of school, then I'll begin." No, you won't if you're not doing it now. I realize many of you children are not Christians yet. However, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Many of you have heard God's Word in many classes. Many of you have heard God's Word at home. Many of you have heard God's Word in worship. You have some faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Share what you know, and it will help you in many ways if you share what you know. It'll help you in times of temptation or doubt. You know, Jesus often fought off the temptations of the devil, even when He was weak or malnourished, when He said, "It is written." It is written. It is written again, Matthew chapter 4. So remember what you've learned from the Bible, and it will also help you as well. Maybe you'll have times where the teacher or your peers are really trying to drive evolution home. And boy, it sure sounds convincing. Did we really come from one cell, a tree, a toad, and a T-Rex, and a human? Oh no, Genesis 1. Genesis 1, God created the male and female. We're made in the image of God. You see, you go back to the Scripture, you go back to what was written. And then don't be afraid to share that. Yeah, they're not going to get it. The darkness doesn't comprehend it. But it will help your faith develop when you do share it. It'll bolster your confidence in what you know from the Scriptures to be true. But if you hide it, you may begin to doubt it. You know, if someone's tempting you to drink beer, for example, the more you share what the Bible says about drinking, the less offers you're going to have. They're not going to want to hear that, right? Those invites will go away. They'll realize they may get a lecture from you. if they offered you some of that. So sharing will help you in temptation. Sharing your faith will help you in times of doubt. But dancing, this is a hard one for girls. Girls, there's two scriptures I'd have you to remember. Galatians chapter 5:19, lasciviousness and lewdness. That word contains the concept of males and females dancing. Remember Galatians 5:19 and remember Mark 6:22, where it says Herodias danced before Herod and she pleased him. Dancing has a physiological effect upon the male body. And you have to understand, you don't want to tempt them. You don't want to lay a stumbling block before them. So remind yourself of those scriptures in times of temptation or doubt. I don't want to do that. I want to be a vessel for good, for God, and not for Satan or for evil or a stumbling block for others to be in sin. It's not going to help you if you just say, well, Daddy won't let me. You need to say, the Scriptures won't allow me. God's Word won't allow me. That's how you develop your faith. And when your friend says, let's do this, say, well, I think God's Word would have me do something different. Share your faith. Share your faith. Sharing your faith will also inform others of what the Bible also teaches as well. I'm proud of my older kids in this regard. I know they're not perfect. They do bad things. They're kids, right? And kids do that. But I always enjoy those times when they come home and then they share with me or mom the various things that happen in their day and then talk about how so-and-so used this particular word, or so-and-so said God's name in vain, or so-and-so said G-O-S-H, right? Use a euphemism. And you know, we told them, you know, that's not right. That's not showing God honor. And a lot of times they say, oh yeah, it's fine, it's okay. You know, the darkness doesn't comprehend it, right? But I'm proud of them informing others, sharing their faith, challenging those around them. Can't remember which one it was. Might have been Austin or Brandon. I can't remember. One of their friends was talking about how there's many gods and goddesses. And they responded, no, no, there's only one God and one church. That upset the kid. He went and told the teacher. And the teacher told, I can't remember if it was Austin or Brandon, told him, go clip down. You know, it's a behavior chart. You've got to clip down on your behavior for that. When they shared with me the story, I said, don't worry at all. I said, in my book, you just clipped up. See, that took courage. And God is pleased when we share our faith and share the truth. And I love seeing the courage of innocent children. It emboldens me. It reminds me when I used to have that kind of innocence and courage and tenacity and not wanting to hold any of that back. In Matthew chapter 18, remember this, folks. Matthew 18, Jesus, in verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They thought it was one of them. Jesus said, verse 2, called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As children, you have a great blessing. You're young and you're moldable and you're courageous and you're humble. You're not yet burdened by the baggage of life. You see things very clearly, right and wrong clearly, and you're not afraid to say so. Many of us older folks have been calloused and hurt and burdened with life's baggage, and we see too many obstacles to doing what Jesus has clearly said we should do. And that's our own fault. That's our own doing. And we have to repent. And we need to be more like you. That's what Jesus is saying. We need to be humble and innocent. Clean and clear. You encourage us by your little acts of faith and devotion and kindness. And may God be with you and keep you in the year to come. Ecclesiastes 12:1, I leave you with. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And to this great audience, I hope you've not checked out this morning because the lesson is called Going Back to School. Because if you thought about this, truthfully, I could have called this something different. Back to school, working hard, showing kindness, beware of pride, share your faith. I could have called this lesson Back to Work on Monday. And it'd all be true, wouldn't it? You need to work hard there and show kindness there and beware of pride. Right? Let me tell you, there's all kinds of politics that happens in work. All kinds of politics. Got to watch out for that. You got to share your faith. See, all these principles apply to wherever you're at. You might say, well, I'm retired. Well, guess what? The same guru said when you're going back to life, right? Whatever your hand finds to do it heartily unto the Lord. And you still got to be kind. You still ought to be an individual that watches out for pride. Some of those old folks have a lot of pride in the glory days. Watch out. And you need to share your faith. This lesson really applies to all if you think about it. Whatever place you find yourself in. Because Hebrews 4:12 tells us the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But I thought especially to apply it to our young children whom we love so dearly and we feel so blessed to have, that as you go into the school year, to remember these principles, and may God take care of you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a child of God yet. Like I said, you have faith, but faith only. That won't save you. You need to be willing to repent of your sins and to confess your faith in Christ and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Imagine how that would feel then going into your next year with the help of Jesus with you. The promise of Jesus that, lo, I'll be with you always. What a blessing that would be. And it can be yours this morning. If as a child of God you've fallen away, you've fallen short, you've not been doing what you ought to do, you've maybe not been working hard. Or not working at all. Just lazy. Maybe you've been unkind to those in your neighborhood or at work. Rude. Maybe you've been given to pride, chasing after things that don't even matter at all come eternity. Maybe you've forgotten to share your faith. We stand here ready to pray for you, offer assistance, because we love you. May God help you in this effort. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.